We discussed last time the Chumrah of the Truma Kadeshin, which is quoted in the beginning of Siman Kuf Sadi, namely that in a situation of Hirgisha Velo Rasa, if a woman has a Hargasha but doesn't see any dam, she still has to be Choshesheth that maybe there was some dam that got mass that evaporated and she has to do Bedika. If that Vedika turns out Imara Tahor, then you can assume that the Imara Tahor was the cause of the Hargasha. If the Vedika turns up nothing, then you have to be Choshesh that maybe there was Dam there and she didn't see it. And then she'd have to treat herself as Temeya is Asura Labaila. So we noted that many Achronim limit the application of the Trumas HaDeshen's Sak to a situation of Hargasha's Sichas Pihamakor, or perhaps Hargasha's Nizdaz Gufa. But if it comes to Hargasha Ziva Sarlach, which is a Chumrah anyway, which at least many Achronim dispute, whether that's a Hargasha Bechlal, then there would be grounds to be Mekel. That is the position, for example, of the Chachmas Adam in the beginning of Simen Kuf Yud Gimel, as well as the Chasen Sofer in Shuva Simen Kuf Nun, quoted by the Piskei Shuva here. Again, that we only have to be Machmir for the Trumas HaDeshen if the Hargasha is one of the authentic Hargashas discussed in Rishonim, not the Hargash of Zivas Davar Lach. And Ramosha, in a tshuva to Rabbi Eider, in the end of Rabbi Eider's English Sefer, in Osches, again, those tshuvas are reprinted in Cheleches of Igros Moshe, Simen Yud Zayin. So Rabbi Eider there asked Ramosha, Ramosha responded that no, it's appropriate to be Machmir for the Trumas HaDeshen, even in a situation where the Hargasha is one of Zivas Davar Lach, and that is consistent with Ramosha's position that the Hargasha of Zivas Davar Lach is indeed a bona fide Hargasha. Even if one were to be Machmir for the position of the Trumas HaDeshen in a situation of Hargasha's Zivas Davar Lach, there are potentially other grounds, Lekula, as well. The Chachmas Adam in Simen Kuf Yud Gimel, Os Gimel, first quotes the famous tshuva of the Shev Yaakov. The tshuva Shev Yaakov is quoted in Piskei Tshuva Sif Katan Gimel. That's the case of the woman who sneezed. The woman who sneezed in Shul, and she wasn't able to do Bedika, and then only later on that evening did she do Bedika, and she found a Kesem Pachos Mikagris. So there the Shev Yaakov, in some places it's quoted as a Shvus Yaakov, but it's really Shev Yaakov. You find often, especially in old editions, there's a confusion sometimes between the Shev Yaakov and the Shvus Yaakov. They're two different people. Shvus Yaakov is the author of the Torah Sashlamim, and I think one of the most famous cases is a famous tshuva of the Shev Yaakov that's quoted in the Piskei Tshuva in Hilchos Tfilas Kelim about whether you need to do Tfilas Kelim in a kli that's mechubel lekarka. The Shev Yaakov is a famous mekel, so it's quoted in the Piskei Tshuva as a Shvus Yaakov, but it's really the Shev Yaakov. Bila Dezimei, so here you had the Shev Yaakov about the case of the woman who sneezes and does a bedika only later on and finds something to be tola that bedika on, so you can still connect the sneezing, the ensuing Hargasha, if you're concerned about Hargasha, to the bedika that she does later on that day. So along those lines, the Chachmas Adam says that if you have a woman who is used to seeing some kind of discharge, some kind of licha levana, discharge, which is not a maritame, and in that situation, even if she experiences a Hargasha Zivas Davar Lach, she could still assume that the Hargasha Zivas Davar Lach only produced some kind of Mare Tahor, and it doesn't even have to do Bedika. So if you establish, according to the Chachmas Adam, if you establish a pattern of seeing a Mare Tahor in conjunction with a Hargasha Zivas Davar Lach, then you can be Mekel, not even require a Bedika. And this position is attributed as well to the Marsham. The Marsham in Chelak Aleph Simen Kuf Peches. The Marsham, the Rav of Rizhan, who had a reputation of, in addition to being one of the foremost poskim of 100 years ago, he had a reputation of being a big makel in general. The story is told that he was once in the court of the first Belzer Rebbe, the Sar Shalma Belz, and the Belzer Rebbe made a comment. There are three people assembled together with the Rebbe, and the Belzer Rebbe made a comment that we really need someone in our generation who can paskin with an orientation, lekula, that is sufficiently properly rooted in halacha. And the Marsham looked around in the room after the Rebbe left, and he asked the other two people what their profession was, and they were both balabatim. So he realized that the rabbi was talking to him because he's the only one who is in Rabbanus, and that at least that's how they tell it in the Bells literature. They have in the Machna Charedi, the weekly Bells newspaper, they have a lot of interesting stories. So they don't only tell you stories about the rabbis of Bells, but they tell you stories about everyone who ever had any connection to the rabbis of Bells. So they often tell the story about the Marsham. So the Marsham in Chelek Aleph Siman Kof Pei Ches writes, quoting some others as well, that if a woman who has a tendency to sing a Mara Tahor in conjunction with this kind of Hargasha does a Bedika three consecutive situations, meaning if she has this Hargasha and she does a Bedika, and then the next time she has the same Hargasha, she does a Bedika again, and the third time she has the same Hargasha, she does a Bedika again, and then she finds that in all three Bedikas, they all yielded a Mara Tahor, or a Licha Levana, something that doesn't make her Tameya, then she has the right to rely on the Chazaka established, and anytime she has this Hargasha later on, as long as it's not during a Yom Ves, as long as it's not at a time that she'd be expecting to have a normal Riyah, but if she has this Hargasha at a unexpected time, then she's not Mechuyevus to do any Bedika. So this is a position of Marsham. It's basically the Chachmas Adam as well, and this is accepted by some poskim. Ramosha, again, in his letters to Rabbi Eider in Oz Tes, points out that even if in theory you were to accept this kula of the Marsham, it would be insufficient to just do a Bedika three random times because there are other variables that have to go into the equation. That maybe she's prone to having Mara Tame if she has this Hargasha in the evening. So if you do a Bedika in the morning, it doesn't tell you what's going to happen in the evening. And you'd have to, so Ramosha says that you'd have to do, in order to be master yourself, you'd have to do this three times in the morning, three times in the evening, three times when you had cereal for breakfast, and three times when you did something else. So basically, it would be difficult to establish an actual pattern, an actual chazaka, because you'd have to account for many different variables that could go into the equation. Yeah. No, so that was the machlokas between the Chavis Das and the Noda Behuda. The Noda Behuda assumed that Ziva Savralach means that sensation is in the Makor, and the Chavis Das assumes the sensation is in the Prostor.
So now, if we say Ramosha's Machner in the Ziva Savralach,
so it's
the
Ziva Savralach even by Prostor, right?
And Prostor means, is that like physically leaving the body? Or?
No, so Prostor, for our purposes, let's say, is the vaginal area, below the cervix. No, it's still in the body. Right.
Okay, and Lamaisa, that's more like normal for a woman to feel than a Makor?
Right, generally women do not feel Hargasha min a Makor, but not all women, but some women do feel Hargasha Ziva Stavralach Birfazer. Okay, fine. And then finally, another ground, Lakula, Rav Vosner in Tshuvas Shevet Alevi, Chelek Beis, Simen Pei Beis, says that when it comes to, even if you accept that there's a need for bedika under these circumstances, if you have a hargasha and then that's not accompanied by a riyastam, so even if you assume that there's a need to do a bedika, if a woman, as modern women do, modern meaning contemporary women do, wear tight-fitting underwear, so that could function as a de facto bedika. So if she's wearing something that dam would be caught on if it leaves the body, so then if you check that and there's no mara tame on the garment, so then you can rely on that as a bedika. This is attributable, this position, to the tshuvas Tiferes Tzvi, the tshuvas of Sadaka Kohen Lublin, who we don't often quote in halachic context, or as often, but his tshuva on this topic is quoted in the Darkei Tshuva in Simen Kuf Tzadi, Sifkat and Kaf Aleph, and this is quoted approvingly by Rav Vosner, again, Tshuvas Shevet Alevi, Chele Beis, Simen Pei Beis. So bottom line, there are many grounds to be mekel lahalacha, not to require a bedika in a situation where a woman has a hargasha ziva stavralach below re'iya. Rabbi Willa basically would say that there's never a need, there's no situation which a bedika would warrant it there. Other poskim may require bedika even if there is hargashah sivas davarlach, as we saw in Rav Moshe. And you can take a look. Rabbi Forrest has an arichas on this, pages and pages in volume one, so you can see the range of shitas that he quotes there. Yeah.
According to Rav Bosner, he's taking away the transgression. Like he's saying, like, if you don't find anything, then
right. Since anyway, the requirement. No, so he wouldn't necessarily say that when it comes to.
It's just saying that you don't need a bikkur.
So the Tumas Hadeshen is talking about, well, two things. First of all, the Tumas Hadeshen is talking about a time where the women did not dress in this fashion. So it wasn't the norm to have a tight-fitting undergarment in the area that would catch dam. So that could be, that's number one. And number two, especially in a case of Hargashah Sivas Davarlach, which is the nidon there, so that, anyway, many poskim say you don't have to be machmir for the Tumas Hadeshen. So even if in theory you wanted to be machmir for the Tumas Hadeshen, by Hargashah Sivas Davarlach, so you can rely on this position that if there's a tight-fitting garment there that would attach to the blood, that could constitute a bidika.
What I'm saying is, the Trumas Adeshin's cases, you have a hargasha with no dam.
Right.
So now, Rav Bosner is saying that if you have a hargasha,
right,
you don't find dam on a woman's underwear.
Right.
So you don't have to worry about that.
So the Trumas Adeshin himself...
The Trumas Adeshin's case.
No, the Trumas Adeshin himself...
No.
So the Trumas Adeshin says you need a bidika, right?
Right. So that's what I'm...
So the Tumas Hadeshen himself may acknowledge that if you have bidika immediately, and that bidika turns up nothing, then she would be tahora. So bitsira, if you can even go back and be mitzareif the fact that even though the Tumas Hadeshen is called Shulchan Aruch, there are cholkin. So number one, on some level, there are cholkin on the Tumas Hadeshen. Number two, the Tumas Hadeshen maybe never applied to Hargashah Sivas Davarlach. Number three, some people might say you should be masik yourself by doing three bidikos to make sure that you're home free for the rest of your life, that you don't have to be concerned about these hargashas. And number four, you can rely on the undergarment constituting a de facto bidika. Good? Okay. So for the moment, that concludes our discussion of hargasha, although we may get back to some related points as we proceed in the limud. Okay, so now we're going to move on to the din of kisamim. So we saw, as we alluded to many times so far, that even though min haTorah, a woman is only tameya if there is dam that comes to the hargasha, midrabanan, there's a din that even if she sees dam below hargasha, she is tameya, and that is called kesem. Nevertheless, the Gemara indicates that there are various kulos that exist by a kesem that is not accompanied by a re'ia that do not apply to a regular re'ia of the hargasha. So, number one, if a kesem is below a certain shear, below a certain size of a kegris v'od, which we'll discuss, a woman is not tameya. If the kesem is found on begadim sivonim, on colored garments, a woman is not tameya. And if a kesem is found on a davar she'ena mekabel tuma, a woman is not tameya. Now, what is the basis of the requirement or the concern that we are metame ksamim midrabanan? So we saw that Rashi on daf nunches amen aleph, the top Rashi says midrabanan dilma argasha v'lava daita. The concern is that maybe there really was a hargasha and the woman was not sufficiently sensitive to notice it. And therefore, we're machmir, even without hargasha, to render a woman tameya if there is a re'iyas dam. Now, Rashi doesn't necessarily mean to say, it still could be that once there's a takana, once there's a zeir, rather, the din derabanan, so that is instituted as a low plug. So even if you have a situation where we can establish with all certainty that there was no hargasha, still, the din derabanan would require that we're machmir for examen. But the theory, according to Rashi, is Dilma Argasha Levadaita, that we're concerned maybe there was a hargasha and the woman was not sufficiently sensitive to notice. And Tosas here argued, Tosas Dibra Maskel, Moda Shmuel and Daphne Ches Amud Aleph, Tosa understood in Rashi that if a woman would know for a fact that there's no hargasha, you wouldn't have to be machmir for Ksamim. As we said, that's not necessarily the case, or one could argue. And Tosa says that no, it's a we're concerned blanket din derabanan that maybe that we don't want to confuse different kinds of dam. Okay, yeah.
In terms of the seba
In theory, I think so. Okay. So before we discuss the particulars of kulos ksamim, there's a position that you should be aware of that is quoted in the Ravid Bali Nefesh, which, if any of you have the Suras Hadaf Big Torah Shulchan Aruch, they have the Bali Nefesh in the back. So in the beginning of his Shar HaKsamim, the Ravid quotes a position which elsewhere is attributed to his father-in-law, the Rav Av Beis Din. Right, there were three Ravids, and there were three famous Ravids in the Tekufas HaRishonim. If you look in the Chidos Shem HaGedolim, he spells this out. Right, the Chidor wrote a work called Shem HaGedolim, which has two sections. The first section is the Chelek HaMechabrim, which with brief biographical information about Mechabrim from the Tekufas HaGaonim to his time. And then the second Chelek is the Chelek HaSvarim, which is bibliographical information about Svarim. So he points out there that there were three Ravids in Tekufas HaRishonim. The Ravid, the Baal HaSagos, was the third Ravid. That's perhaps the most famous Ravid. His father-in-law was also called a Ravid. He was the Rav Av Beis Din, and that was the author of the Sefer HaEshkol. So that is the Rav Av Beis Din. And then before that, there was the Ravid who was the author of the Sefer HaKabbalah. So the Ravid in the beginning of Shar HaKsamim quotes a position of his father-in-law that the whole din of Ksamim does not apply Bizman Hazah, that Ksamim was only relevant to Taros, wasn't relevant to the Isser LeBaal, and therefore nowadays where we do not have Taros, there is no din of ksamim. Just like we have other halachos of nida that are clearly only halachos derabanan that are limited to a taros context. For example, the first thing in Maseches Nida, that a woman is nida would be tamei me'eis le'eis, that the middle position in Tanayim, that if a woman becomes a nida, so any taros that she came into contact with during the last 24 hours are going to be tamei. So that's a din derabanan. That only applies, obviously, when there is taros. So the position quoted by the Ravid is that just like that din the Rabbanan only applies when we're knowing Taros, so to the whole din of Ksamim, the Chumrah that we have to treat a Re'iyah without a Hargasha as Dam Nida, that only applies to Taros, doesn't apply as far as the Isser Labaila, and therefore does not apply Bizman Hazeh. So you can take out Simon Kupsadi from your Shulchan Aruch. That's the position of the Rav Av Beis Din. The Ravid argues, and the Ravid thinks that there were three Gemaras in our sugyas here that indicate otherwise. Number one, the Gemara says on Daf Nuntes Amud Aleph, the mission there on Nuntes Amud Beis had a story of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was sitting with his Talmidim, and a woman came with a Shaila on a Kesem, on a Re'iyah, and Rabbi Akiva paskened that he could be Tola B'maka, that there is grounds to believe that the source of the Dam was not dam that would render her Timea, and therefore he was Mekel. And when the Gemara comments on that Mishnah, the Gemara has an impression, quoting a Braisa, that Lo Amru Chachamim Es Adavar Lahakel El Lahachmir, the whole din of Tzamim only applies, only creates a Chumra, doesn't apply, doesn't create a Kula. So that seems to be in the context of an Isser Labaila, not an Isser, or not a halacha of Taros. And also he quotes the Gemara on Chesem and Beis. The Gemara there quotes, we'll see there's a machlokas, three-way machlokas Tanayim, about the extent to which you could be Mako for a Kesem if it's below a certain shear, around the shear of a gris. So there the Gemara quotes one of the Tanayim, Shimon, who says, L'dvarai ein kate, she'en l'cha isha shetar l'bayla, that if you take the position that we're going to be machirang samim even less than a gris, that even a small amount of blood is going to make a woman tamei midar abanan, so then you'll never have a situation in which a woman's going to be mutaris l'bayla, because there are always little amounts of blood that come out. So that also sounds like it's talking about a context of isha l'bayla, not a context of Taras. So that is the position of the Ravid against the Rav Av Beis Din, that the din of Ksamim does apply Bizman Hazeh, and he has rayas from those Gemaras. Okay, and this position is quoted and rejected as well by the Chidush HaHaran in Osurgya and by the Ramban on Daf Yotes Amud Beis. However, there is an important shuva of the Chasam Sofer, which offers an explanation for the Shita of the Rav Abbezdin, which even though we don't accept the Rav Abbezdin Lahalacha, a certain element of that Shita may be reflected Lamaisa. And that goes as follows. The Chuvas Chasam Sofer is in Yoredeya Simon Kuf Pei Beis, Yoredeya Kuf Pei Beis, quoted here in an abridged version in the Piskei Shuvan Har Simon Sifkata and Yud. So the Chasam Sofer basically explains as follows, that the Rav Abbezdin wasn't saying that the din of Samim, even Bisman Habayis, was limited to Taros and not Isser Labayla. In fact, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, when we were concerned about Taros, the Isser extended to an Isser Labal as well. However, the source of the Gzeira of Samim was Hilchos Taros. And once we rendered a woman who has a kesem es temeya le'inyan taros, so by extension, we are going to render her asur labayla as well, otherwise we'd be causing confusion. If you have a woman who we tell is tahora, is temeya as far as taros goes, but is still muteras labayla, that's going to make people confused. So it is true that the original din derabanan of Ksamim was instituted because of a concern limited to Taros, but once it was instituted in the context of Taros, it was automatically extended to the context of Isser Labayla as well. So according to the Shita of the Rav Abbezdin, yes, Bisman Habayis, the Isser existed for Taros, and then by extension for an Isser Labayla, Bismanenu, where there's no Taros, so that extension fell off as well. So there's no din of Samim, not for Taros, and not for the Isser Labayla. That is how the Chasam Sofer explains the basis of the Shita of the Rav Abbezdin. Based on this, he makes the following observation. What is the din going to be? We'll talk in a little while about the basis of the kula of gris. Right? For now, the reason that we are mako, that if you have a kesem less than the size of a gris, a woman is tahora, is because you could be told that ana macholas. You can assume that the source of that blood was a louse, a bedbug, whatever the precise translation of macholas is. So you can assume, you have the right to assume, that the source of that blood was not from her body, but rather from some external bug. But what would we say, Bisman Hazeh, where we don't have bed bugs that hang out in the same quantity or the same sizes that you had Bisman HaTanoim, Bisman HaAmaraim. Nowadays, if we don't have such bugs that hang out with any frequency, do you still have the right to rely on this kula and be told that the source of a kesem came from such a macholas? So the Chasam Sofer argues that just like you see from the Rav Abbezdin that the Isser Labayla was an extension of the status Le'inyan Taros, and that was all established as a package deal. So too, even if you don't accept the Rav Abbezdin's application Lamaisa, we still view that original Takana as a package deal. And as a package deal, it was established based on the criterion that existed at the time. And is a davar shebe minyan that you need minyan achir la'atira, so to speak. That the shear of a gris was established based on the macholos of the time of the Tanaim. And even if nowadays we don't have macholos of the same size, variety, flavor, nevertheless, we still tap into the original nature of the takana. And therefore, the Chasam Sofer says that whether or not you have any particular macholos in your neighborhood, you still have the right to rely on the kula of pachos mi kegris v'od. Okay. I should have mentioned that the Aruch HaNer points out that even though in terms of explicit Rishonim that present this shita that the Isser, or the Din of Tzamim, only applied Bisman Habayis, So that's limited to the Rav HaBezdin in the Sefer Eshkol. But the Aruch HaNer and others point out that it's interesting to note the Rif doesn't quote Hilchos Ksamim anywhere. The Rif doesn't have Hilchos Ksamim in his Hilchos Nida. So some want to say that maybe the Rif also subscribed to this position of the Rav HaBezdin that Ksamim are not Noheg Bismanaseh. Okay. But be that as it may, whether or not you want to accept the Shita of the Rav HaBezdin as a basis for the Chasam Sofer's position, the Chasam Sofer bottom line says that even absent a Macholes, we still have the right to rely on the Kula of Pachas Mikigris, and we'll flesh these things out as we go on. But while we just mentioned that Chasam Sofer, we should also mention a position of the Yerayim that is quoted here in the Pesachei Tshuva as well. The Yerayim is in, and the Marmakomos, I forgot to tell you the pages on. I wrote down Simon Kavav, and Simon Kavav goes through pages, pages, and pages. So it's on in the classic edition of the Sefer Yerayim, it's on page Kaf Beis. And the line is the one that the Os Ayin Beis of the Tofos Re'im goes on. The super commentary in the Sefer Yerayim is the Tofos Re'im. So corresponding to Os Ayin Beis of the Tofos Re'im, the Yerayim has the following line. It's quoted here in an abridged version in Piskei Shuva Sif Katan Tes. So the Yerayim says, V'anan lo v'kiyin shapir mahu gris shelpol. We don't really have sufficient expertise to determine what the shear of a gris is. Hilkach tsarech lihizahir biksamin lefi shikol hadas. Therefore, you have to be careful about paskening on a kesem based on the shikol hadas of the posik. She'ein dam macholes upir oshim rabba. Because there are not that many, there isn't such a preponderance of dam attributable to bugs nowadays. Okay, so again, anan lo biki and shapir mahu gris, hilkach tsarech lizahir biksamin lefi shikol hadas. So Rabbi Eider in his sefer, chapter 1, footnote tzadi tes, Rabbi Eider assumes that this yureim is against the chasam sofer. And he assumes that the yureim means to say is that nowadays you only have the right to be tole a kesem on a macholes if you actually have such bugs around. So if you don't have bugs, or if you have a smaller size bug, then you only have the right to be tola the kesem on the smaller size bug. And that's what he means, that you have to evaluate lefi shikol hadas. That's Rabbi Eider's read of the Sefer HaYerayim. However, one could read the Sefer Yerayim otherwise. Rabbi Avadia points this out on page Shin Samech Tes of the Taras Habayis. Rabbi Avadia refers you to the commentary of the Tofos Re'im on the bottom of the Yerayim, Tofos Re'im, Os Ayin Beis. So he thinks that the Kavan of the Yerayim is the opposite. That the Yerayim is saying you can even evaluate your gris based on a larger size. He says, we don't know, again, Lashon HaYerayim, lo v'ki and shapir mahu gris shelpol. We don't know for a fact what the shear is. And therefore, even if you have a bigger shear gris, maybe you could be mekel. And when he says, tzarech lizahir biksamin, he doesn't mean to say, and you have to be careful because the shear is smaller. He means to say you have to be careful because we don't assume, like the Rav HaBezdin, that there's no din of ksamin is not a zeh. He's coming lafuki, that position of the Rav HaBezdin, that no, we do pask in the din of ksamim. That's what you have to be careful about. But because we don't know what's a gris, so you evaluate based on whatever size gris you can find. Okay, so those are two possibilities in the Yerayim. Either the Yerayim is coming with a relative chumrah or a relative kula. Rabbi Vadi also quotes from Shlomo Kluger in the Shiare Tara that he was machmir in the other direction, meaning to say that nowadays we have, he says, Niskanu Hashir, which is just like the Nod Behuda told us that the Shir of a the Kizais is different than it used to be, the Shir of a Kibais is different than it used to be, because Niskanu Hashir, and you have to double your size of your Kizais. So here also, Niskanu HaMacholos, and you only have the right to be tola a kethem on the macholah shebizmanenu, on whatever kind of bug you actually have in your locale. But that is generally a minority opinion among poskim. The opinion that we quoted from the Chasam Sofer is the position that is widely accepted, but this also relates to what we quoted earlier, a few shiurim ago, the machlokas that we presented between the Taras HaShlamim and the Shlomo Eger in the beginning of Simen Kuf Pei Gimel, as to whether you have kulas ksamim even if you know that the dam came from the woman. So that relates to the same issue as to whether there's an objective takana that you can be makel if you have less than a shear gris, or is it still dependent on actually being attributable to a machalas? Okay. Ramosha, in Chelek Gimel of Yaradeya, Simen Memvav, Dibra Hamaskal U Le'inyin, assumes as a davar pashut that even bizman hazeh the shear of a kesem is a gris, and even if you know for a fact that the blood came migufa, you still have the right to assume that the kesem is tahora. Ramosha argues on the Chasam Sofer's lumdus, and he says that you can make this argument independent of the Rav HaBevdin, even if you assume that there wasn't originally a connection between Tyrus and the Yisr Labailam. Or even if you assume, even at a time that you were knowing Tyrus, you still, in theory, could rely on the Kula of Gris, even if you don't have a Macholas in front of you. So again, the Hachra Poskin, despite the possible implication in the Yireim otherwise, there's also a... there's also a line in the Chibas Ma'aril. Chibas Ma'aril is in Chadoshos Simin Sadi Zayin. The Chibas Ma'aril, arguing on what Shlomo Kluger would say many centuries later, writes, Eina Yodea Me'ezatam Yishtana Lididan. I have no reason to believe that the din of Gris would be different nowadays. Shema Olav Adaitcha de Macholas Didan Ketanim Hem Yididu. Do you think that our bedbugs or our lice are smaller than their lice? Zumi Nayim Lecha, you have to prove it. So you have no basis of assuming that our bugs are different than their bugs. But that may have the implication, as a footnote in the Chuvat Maril says, may have an implication that if we do know for a fact, if we are able to establish that our bugs are smaller than the old bugs, so the Maril may assume that you can only be Tola on our bugs. But again, even if that is the Maril's intent, that is not the consensus of the poskim. The consensus of the poskim is, like Ramosha writes, that you have the right to rely on a shir kegris, even absent any active ma'acholas. Okay, so we might have gotten a little bit ahead of ourselves. Let's just go back and see where this all comes from. So the Gemara, the Mishnah on Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis tells us, "V'tola b'chol davar shehi yachalat lilos." When it comes to ksamim, you could be tola if there is some other source to which the dam is attributable. You have the right to attribute it to that other source. And the Mishnah tells you, "Harga ma'acholas areiz tola ba." That if you kill a bug, then she kills a bug, then you could be tola that the source of the dam was the bug that she killed. Ad kama tola, and what is the shear up to which you're allowed to be tola? Rebbe Chanina ben Antignus Omer ad kigris shel po, up to the shear of a gris. The af al pi shelo harga, even if she did not kill the bug. So if you look, the Gemara, the Shaka Vitaria, from the Chesam Beis, Tilton and Tessam and Aleph, you'll see that there are basically three positions in Tanayim. On the one hand, you have the position of Shim Gamliel, that you own, which is the Tanakam of our Mishnah, that you only have the right to be tola b'macholas, you only have the right to be mekel on pachos mikigris if you know for a fact that the woman was hanging out with bugs or killed a bug. And then the other extreme, you have the position of chachamim that the Gemara tells you that you could be tola in a, you could be tola on a macholas even if it's more than a gris. And then the middle position is the position of Rebbe Chanina ben Antignos, which is the position that we paskin like, that you could be only tola b'macholas up to the shear of a gris, or up to the shear of a gris, the ode. But that applies even if there's no actual bug. So again, according to Shimon Gamliel, you could only be told if you know there's a bug. According to Chachamim, you can be told even if you don't know there's a bug, even more than a gris. And according to B'chanidim and Atignus, you can be told even if you don't know there's a bug, but only up to a gris. What is this gris? So the Rambam refers to the gris. The Rambam in Perek Tes Halacha Vav refers to the gris as a gris haklili. This is a reference to a Mishnah in the Goyim that also tells you, the Mishnah in the Goyim in Perek Vav Mishnah Aleph, that the shear for Beheres is a gris haklili. Gris haklili is from a place called Khalil. It's a geographic notation. excuse me. So the Rambam says that there's an official shear for gris, the same shear that you have in Hilchos Nagayim, and that is gris ha-kalili. If you look in the Ravid in Shar Haksamim, Dibur Hamaskil Uke Gris, the Ravid says that you could be tola in kol pol shiz damilo, any bean that you find. That there isn't a set objective measurement for a gris. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, the Bach thinks that this is Machlokas Tanayim, Machlokas Rambam Ravid. The Ravid doesn't say anything about Sagos, but he says it in the Bali Nefesh. But if you look the way he's quoting Shulchan Aruch, so here in our Simon Kupsadi, Seif Hey, the Mechaber says, Lo gazu ala kesem ela im kein yeshbo kigris v'od. So the shear of a kesem is kigris v'od. And then he tells you that the shear of a gris is ketesha adashim, which is the shear of the Rambam. That's the gris haklili. And then at the end of the halacha, he says, the end of the sif, he says, v'im nizdamin la gris yoser gadol mizeh hashir misharin bo. But if you live in a place where there are other things that could be identified as a gris, even bigger, so then you could be told on that gris and that bug if there's a bigger size bug. So the Taz writes over there, Sivkat and Zion, gris yoser gadol darmina de efshir de yesh kina yoser gadola, that if you have a bigger gris, then maybe you could have a bigger bug. Why should that be? What does one have to do with the other? So Yaruch HaShulchan doesn't like this. Yaruch HaShulchan in Os Kavav, over here he quotes the Taz, and he says, what should one have to do with the other? If you have a sheer gris, so what is that, just because I have a bigger bean, that means that I have bigger bugs? What does one have to do with the other? So he writes, the way that Takana was formulated was that the shear of a kesem is based on the largest size gris that you have. So where you don't have any gris, so then we have the fallback of the gris haklili. But the way that Takana was instituted is that any time that we assume that you could have a dam attributable to a bug up to the shear of any known gris. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. What is the shear of a gris or a kigris v'od? So Ramosha in Yerideya Chela Gimel Simen Nun Vav Os Beis, again Gimel Nun Vav Beis, Ramosha says that the shear of a gris is around the size of a penny, which is a diameter of 19 millimeters. If you look, the range of positions in poskim is between about 14 and 21 millimeters, but generally speaking, definitely in America, we all assume that the shear is a penny. That's about the only use for pennies nowadays. It doesn't, you carry a penny in your back pocket in case you have to pass in an amara. And a kesem, because nothing else to do with a penny. So that's what a penny is useful for. That's a shear. And then the Sifta Gemara, I saw that they say that a 5 agura coin in Israel is 19.5 millimeters. So it's around the same size. But we generally assume that the shear of a kesem is a penny. Okay, we'll stop here.